Hello, world. I'm Rick Patton. Stand by for news. Well, here's something to think about. When I do my Spirit World series, I talk about the demons, and I say if you're a Christian, the demons are coming after you. You're going to hear on today's program that if you are a Republican, if you are a conservative, or if you're a Christian, or maybe all three, oh, you're in trouble. The Democrats are coming after you. Not unusual. When the word that existed from the very beginning of time became flesh and came to earth to dwell among us, when the light that illuminated the light of every person came into the world that he created, he was not always well received. They killed him. The response was not generally positive, was it? God had a program. He affirmed the need of persons for salvation. He sent Jesus, described in John's Gospel as the Word, sent him to earth for the dual purpose of revealing God and redeeming humankind. That's expressed in John's prologue as a life and a light. But the response was not always good. After a three-verse description of the person who came to bear witness of the light, this is John chapter 1, by the way. John the Baptist, and a disclaimer that John the Baptist was not the light himself, but was instead a witness to the light. The prologue returns to the description of the Word that became flesh. I like John 1, starting there at verse 9. It describes the response that the world of persons gave to the light of God, and generally, it was just a negative response. Coming to his own earth and to his own people, he was rejected by them. But there's a positive response. Some accepted him. Oh, yeah, they did. It's true today. To them, he gave the privilege of becoming the very children of God. Hark, the herald angels sing. What a wondrous love is this. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for stepping on this earth. Did I oversleep? Is Obama still in the White House? What year is it? Republicans once again folded on the border wall. Yes, they did. Military hero and Trump supporter General Michael Flynn was abused and harassed in court and told he sold his country out by an uninformed federal judge. And the Federal Reserve continued to ensure the record Trump economy is now going to be stalled out for the foreseeable future. No wonder Nancy Pelosi was dancing at a bar. Yeah. So where are we here now? The Senate, late Wednesday, approved an interim spending bill that will keep several key departments of the federal government funded through February and avert a partial shutdown. The legislation, which funds 9 of 15 cabinet-level departments and dozens of agencies, was passed by a voice vote. It now heads on to the House. It's not clear whether President Trump will sign the bill if the House approves it, since the measure does not provide any new funding for his long-promised wall along the U.S. border. Oh, my. Meanwhile, a triple amputee and U.S. military veteran says he was inspired to raise money for President Trump's wall after reading a New York Post article that questioned why no one had taken up the mantle. In just 3 days, Brian Colfage's GoFundMe campaign, We the People Will Fund the Wall, I like that, We the People Will Fund the Wall, has racked up more than $2 million from 34,000 people with a goal of raising $1 billion. If the 63 million people who voted for Donald Trump each pledge $80, we can build this wall. That equates to roughly $5 billion. Even if we get half, that's half the wall, we can do this thing. This super vet wrote that the campaign has been in touch with the Trump administration to secure a point of contact where all the funds are going to go upon completion. What a guy. Well, a lot of conservatives are frustrated by all of this. Oh, yeah. Laura Ingraham said, hey, no wall. You'll not get my vote in 2020, Mr. President. It's a big deal. Just over a week after the president forcefully suggested he'd risk a government shutdown to secure border wall funding, the White House is retreating, and top conservative commentaries and politicians are declaring that the president's gutless move here has not only broken a campaign promise, but also undermined his credibility now as a big deal maker. Trump will just have to be a joke presidency who scammed the American people, amused the populace for a while, but he'll have no legacy whatsoever if he yields to this issue. That was, Ann Coulter. Got some tough women in the news business today. And House Freedom Caucus Chair Mark Meadows, a Republican from North Carolina, told Fox late Wednesday that the political fallout will start soon and that Trump risks doing major damage to his reelection campaign in 2020. When asked if the president should veto any stopgap funding bill that does not include money for the border wall, Meadows replied, well, yes. He added that the mistake Republicans had made was that they didn't bring up the bill last week when they had the votes to do something. And then there's Syria. What's going on here? The president surprised observers Wednesday with his decision to pull all 2,000 U.S. troops out of Syria and a declaration of victory over ISIS. We have defeated ISIS in Syria, my only reason for being there during my presidency. That's what he told top U.S. officials. Many said the troop withdrawal had not been finalized, but they expect American forces to be out by mid-January. Lindsey Graham compared this to former President Barack Obama's decision to withdraw all U.S. troops from Iraq in 2011. So some say, boy, it was a brilliant move, and others say, really stupid. Hey, what do you think? Hey, do you remember Loretta Lynch? She was in law. Oh, yeah, she was the former attorney general. Had that famous meeting with Bill Clinton on the tarmac talking about their grandchildren. She was on Capitol Hill yesterday for closed-door testimony to answer questions on the Justice Department's Russia and Hillary Clinton probes. They have a Hillary Clinton probe? When did that come up? Lynch came under fire in 2016 after her infamous tarmac meeting there with the former president. You know, I really lament the old days. I mean, when our president did nothing and no one ever spoke ill of the First Lady. She was just perfect and wonderful, and everything was great. Remember how good the school lunches were then? And now every day it's something. Well, when it comes to Christmas, First Lady Melania Trump simply can't do anything right in the eyes of the left-stream media. Only a few weeks after her Christmas decor was vilified, several art experts at the struggling Vogue magazine ganged up on the White House photo now, their major portrait for the holidays, and an article posted Vogue's website that says the image feels so strangely off. The magazine's piece, which ran without a byline, is headlined, "What's up with this year's surreal White House Christmas portrait?" It accuses the First Lady and the President of looking like cardboard cutout versions of themselves, and declared they shouldn't be smiling amid negative news that is currently in the headlines. These people at Vogue are real morons. Yeah, see, the left doesn't want anyone smiling but themselves. Yeah. Dance on, Pelosi. Dance on. Have another drink. It's a wonderful life. Uh-huh. More news right after this. You know, the Word, who has always been in the world, he created his own mother, who had in fact created everything, was now introduced to the world. He was close to us. He could be seen by us. He could be touched by our hands. That was one of the emphases that John wanted to make in John 1. There was a belief in his day that matter was evil and that God, who was good, could not have created a world composed of matter. So they came up with the idea that there was a series of emanations from God down to one who was so far removed from God that he could deal in the evil stuff of matter. John, on the other hand, went to great lengths to show that the ever-existent God not only created matter, he took on human flesh himself. He became matter. When he had a body and a personality, he could be seen, touched, and really known. God was personified in the person of Jesus Christ. God took on a personality, and God had taken on the personality of Jesus when the Word became flesh. You know, when we participate in song, elevating Almighty God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, we can share the experience that is in our hearts about what God has done in us, to us, and for us. I sing because I'm... But you know how that works. Are you happy today? Well, the question might be, could Budweiser drinkers soon be swapping their beer for pot? The world's biggest brewer said yesterday that it's teaming up with Canada's Tilray to research cannabis-infused drinks now. It's the latest major company to start exploring the pot market following decisions to legalize recreational marijuana in Canada and a number of states here in America. These two will invest a combined $100 million into researching non-alcoholic drinks containing cannabis. From North Korea, they said today it will never unilaterally give up its nuclear weapons unless the United States first removes what leaders call a nuclear threat. The surprisingly blunt statement jars with Seoul's rosier presentation of the North Korean position and could rattle that fragile trilateral diplomacy to defuse a nuclear crisis that last year had many fearing war. The latest from North Korea comes as the U.S. and North Korea struggle over the sequencing of denuclearization that Washington wants and the removal of international sanctions that are desired by North Korea. Some people crying foul. The outcry over a recent plea deal that allowed a former Baylor University fraternity president accused of sexually assaulting a woman to avoid jail has advocates pointing to similar cases and criticizing overly lenient sentences for men who attack women. Jacob Walter Anderson was indicted on sexual charges after his victim, who had not been publicly identified, accused him of repeatedly raping her and gagging her and choking her back in 2016 at a frat party, a claim which his lawyers dispute. In the end, Anderson pleaded no contest to a lesser charge of unlawful restraint and agreed to go to counseling and pay that humongous $400 fine. There's something rotten there. Well, this sounds like something that happened decades ago. The United States Senate has unanimously approved a bill to make lynching a federal crime in this country. Three black senators introduced the bill in June to allow lynching to be charged now as a hate crime alongside existing crimes such as murder. For much of the U.S. history, lynchings were rarely prosecuted at all. More than 200 anti-lynching bills have been introduced to Congress since 1918. All were voted down. Lynching is murder by a mob with no due process or rule of law. In the U.S. South in the 19th and 20th centuries, thousands of African Americans were lynched by white mobs, often by hanging. Senator Kamala Harris, one of the bill's architects, said the vote was history. Speaking of history, ladies, take note. Nevada will be the first state in America to have a majority female legislature following the appointment of two women to open seats in the state assembly. Women will hold 51% of the 63 seats in the Nevada legislature. I wonder how long it's going to be before we have a female president. I was talking to one of my friends at the post office yesterday, and this is not one of the fun times for him. I think he's been at it 28 years or something like that. Then I got to thinking about Amazon. Those people are crazy there. Time at Amazon is measured, we understand, in the amount of what's called peak, P-E-A-K, the peak, we're told, is the time when Amazon associates really shine. They're forged in the peak. We're made complete by packing and shipping the Christmas and holiday dreams of people worldwide. Records are set, and we have fun making history. You think? Peak refers to that season lasting from the week before Black Friday through Christmas. During this six-week period, the volume of packages running through our fulfillment, sortation, and delivery centers soars, and full-time workers receive mandatory extra time, working 60 hours a week with exhausting 12-hour days, while part-time workers are encouraged to take as many extra shifts as they can. Our workforce doubles with seasonal workers who are paid less, not given benefits, and put on a restrictive time-off allowance, ensuring they'll be working through the holiday season. And here's how you have to get this into your mind. You know, as a man thinketh, so is he. Our backs will be aching. Our bodies will be exhausted. Our pay will be small. It's the same. But at least we know we broke some records. America's sweatshop, Amazon, firing on all cylinders. Hundreds of millions of customer promises fulfilled. Congratulations. More about Jesus right after this. So are you out there spreading the good news of Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ? Last weekend, we were at a nursing facility here in Fort Wayne, and I think it's, for so many in our church, one of the highlights of the year, just to see the people and their excitement with new friends coming through the door and singing all of the traditional hymns and choruses through the holiday season. Ah, a great time. Yeah, we need to let others know about Jesus 365 days a year, not just during the Christmas season. Are you doing that? We try to do it all the time here at Greg Patton Ministries and Hello World, sharing with you news, information, and comment that is pertinent to the Christian, the conservatives in our society, and certainly to the Christians, making you ever mindful of what's going on in the world today. And we're grateful to all of you who support our program by listening every day, telling others about the broadcast, by joining us on Facebook and going to our website, by inquiring about meetings and, well, all of that stuff. Again, so very grateful for you. Do you have a favorite Christmas verse? What is it? Most people to whom I've talked to ask that question, don't have an answer. If they did, it was a verse you might expect, one about Jesus in the manger, Mary in Bethlehem. Perhaps it's about the wise men in the east or the shepherds in their fields. Of course, verses like those do help the wonderful story of Christmas. One of my favorites isn't found in the Gospels. It's not a scene from Bethlehem or even in the context of what we call Christmas. It's 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. At that point in the chapter, Paul has been writing about the nature of giving, the joy of releasing what we have held on to, the generous blessing that God does in turn. Then Paul realizes that God himself, when he gave us Jesus, modeled exactly what the Apostle Paul had been writing about. Overwhelmed now, Paul exclaims, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." You know, the word Paul coins for indescribable is found nowhere else in the Word of God. Did you know that? It conveys the idea of, well, an incredible generosity, a gift. As the New Living Testament puts it, it's just too wonderful for words. Paul, with his immense vocabulary, searches for just the right synonym to fit the person of Jesus Christ, who's given to us as the ultimate gift. But the apostle just can't think of a word. He makes up one. Indescribable. I might have picked awesome. We throw that around a lot. I use that word a lot. It's just too easy to use. But here's a place that really fits. Jesus is indeed an awesome gift for us to think about during this Christmas season. I challenge you to camp on that idea and spend some time asking yourself two very important questions this Christmas season. First, have you accepted God's awesome gift of Jesus into your life? In giving us Christ, God gave us the gift of grace and the gift of truth, a love, the gift of hope. Jesus perfectly modeled these magnificent qualities for you and me, and through his death and his resurrection, he imparts them to us when we believe. And then second, have you responded to God's awesome gift with generosity? If not, you're missing out on a big thing here. Sharing God's indescribable gift is the only thing that compares with receiving it yourself. December is the perfect time to experience the full joy of generosity, to give abundantly because you have received abundantly, and watch with wonder as the Lord works through you. People across the country are desperate today. Oh, they are. You heard so much negative stuff today going on in Washington and around the world, and we could be blown up at any second, right? People need grace. They need truth. They need love. Oh, but they really need hope. I've often said that's one of the worst parts of hell. There is no hope. You and I carry on sometimes day to day just because of hope. So this Christmas season here, you can help them unwrap the awesome gift of Jesus Christ by sharing with others. Share of your time and your finances. Yeah, we here at Today's World are 100% committed to proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. It's so easy to do on the internet now. So grateful to Dr. Ken Hill, head of WHCB in Tri-Cities, Tennessee. Decades now we've been a team, and he has just been such a kind gentleman and so generous in many, many ways. Remember, little is much when God is in it. Now, again, I think about Jesus, the name above all names. We shared earlier this week, the name above, well, the 30 billion people who've ever walked the face of the earth. Amazing, never had a formal education. A carpenter's son. Yet more universities and seminaries and schools and centers of learning have centered around Jesus Christ than any other person in history. He never owned any property. If he wanted to go someplace with a boat, he had to borrow one. If he wanted to feed someone, he had to borrow their food, their lunch. When he wanted to ride, he had to borrow a donkey. When he wanted to pay his taxes, he had to borrow a coin or find a coin in a fish's mouth. And yet, think of the buildings and all the different places that have been erected to preach and teach in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in closing, let me say again, in his lifetime, his influence at that moment was so very, very small at his birth there. But if you pause right now, take the computer, Google, let's Google Jesus. Type in Jesus and see what comes up. More than 30,000 words on this one man. And it's true. You're an educator. No child can be educated without Jesus. How can a child be educated who doesn't know about Jesus, who has affected the human race as he has? Like it or not, my friend, Jesus Christ is one in 30 billion. He is absolutely, totally unique. Do you know my Jesus today? Have you ever been saved? Because today, oh yeah, this Thursday would be a great day to fall down on your knees before Almighty God, confess your sins to Him, and say yes to Jesus Christ. I want you to rule and reign my life from this day forward. Why not? Do it today. And finally, part of a young mom's Christmas letter to Santa. Santa, I'd like a pair of legs that don't ache after a day of chasing kids. I'll take them in any color except purple. I already have those. Arms that don't flap in the breeze but are strong enough to carry a screaming toddler out of the candy aisle at the grocery. I'd like a waist since I lost mine somewhere in the 7th month of my pregnancy. If you're hauling around big ticket items this year, I'd like a car with fingerprint resistant windows and a radio that only plays adult music. A television that doesn't broadcast any program containing talking animals. And a refrigerator with a secret compartment behind the crisper where I can hide and talk on my cell phone. And oh yes, I want that talking daughter doll that always says, "Yes, Mommy," to boost my parental confidence. And don't forget those 3 pairs of jeans that will zip up all the way without the use of power tools. I wonder how many. Oh, never mind. A reminder once again, we have the greatest gift of all when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's it. Hello, world, for a Thursday. Thank you for being here. Tell others about the broadcast. And hey, join us again. Tomorrow, same time, same place. I'm so excited to be with you each day at this very time. I'm Greg Patton. God bless and good day.